Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Where are we?
You're where are we?
Not where are we, I said, are we on? Hello, and welcome to another episode of Absolutely Bizarre.
No. What? It's too early. Don't confuse me.
Anyway, they know what we're here for. Sorry we've been away for a little bit. We've been otherwise engaged. Illness had to play with that. But we are back, and we are going to give you 2 episodes this week. Obviously, we're going to continue with the chapters of the haunted counties of England. So today is Cambridge. And then we're looking at some bizarre deaths.
Yeah. So it's quite interesting, that.
Yeah. Just for a little bit of...
just so you don't feel like you've missed us too much. Yeah.
So that'll come this week.
Yeah.
So, obviously, share the show. The faster the show gets to a certain threshold of downloads, that'll be the point where I drop the second episode. So it's up to you guys. If you want to hear us quicker, then share us. If you're not bothered, then...
then don't.
Carry on. Yeah. As you were. Right, Cambridge, you ready? Oh, actually, before we start that, I wanted to just mention this. You had something to mention as well, didn't you? But I don't know if you saw this. This was in... It was actually in Yorkshire Live, which is a newspaper, but it says this. And to be fair, although this sounds really ridiculous, and when I show you the picture, I think you'll understand why. Anyway, a man who was left with a burning rear pain after mistakenly using toilet cleaning wipes as loo roll has called Tesco to change their packaging. Leon Gleed, 29, said he was confused when his bottom started to feel sore until he realised he'd been using antibacterial toilet cleaner wipes, which are not meant to be used on the body. Right, it says this. Ow. His girlfriend, Sadie Williams, had brought Tesco's active flushable toilet wipes from an express store in South Wales. She then left them next to the toilet, setting off a chain of unfortunate events. Let me skip this bit, because I'll skip to the bit where he talks about what it felt like.
About his ringer.
But essentially, he did it for a few days before his bum started to end up in a rash and all the rest of it. And, he said he couldn't sit down. He's a truck driver. It's a constantly chafing and burning. And then that's when he realised. He said, because obviously he's Welsh, he said, "The only way I could describe it He's like, a night after a 10 hot curries. And I know it's a silly mistake, but I'm convinced there's other people out there who have done the same thing. And actually, look at the packaging. I'll show you the picture of the packaging. He's probably right, to be fair, because he's asked for Tesco to change the packaging. But I don't, if you see this, look, it just says active toilet, flushable toilet wipes.
Yeah, they conveniently missed off the bit where it says antibacterial cleaning.
If they were next to the toilet, if they were next to the toilet, my kids would use them.
Yeah.
So he's probably got a point. And
I know. I mean, but
health and safety is a big thing. So
I've used, obviously, my wife used to get the old the flushable wet wipe things for adults or for the kids and
baby wipes, in other words.
Yeah. And they, don't get me wrong, they was all right, but they have a distinct smell of baby wipe. Do you know what I mean? You know what a baby wipe smells like. But yet, you also know what antibacterial smells like. When you pull it out and it smells like lemon pledge, you should be going, yeah, okay, maybe this isn't
depends
used
what
for me arsehole.
Kind of ringer you like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's get into these
stuff. Shall we get on with Cambridge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, with Cambridge, you know, it's an old part of England. You know, it's been around since England's, you know, been here, basically.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of these places I'm going to talk about, well, all these places I'm going to talk about, are a sort of unassuming sort of places. You know, places you walk past every day, if you live in Cambridge, obviously. Yeah. But in general, I mean, there's places in your area, there's places now where you go to every day, you frequent, you know, bridges you cross, you know, certain places, like, you don't really think about what's gone before, the history.
Yeah.
You probably do, because you're aware, though, but general
historians,
yeah, but general people, you know, and this is the same. The first one here is Huntington Town Bridge, and this is in Huntingdon, which is part of Cambridgeshire. All right, and
been there.
It's said to be haunted, by a plethora of ghosts, to be fair, but it's actually said to be haunted mostly by a Victorian policeman, okay, who served his final patrol there. Okay, so the bridge nowadays sees a heavy flow of traffic that passes between two towns, but it's a medieval bridge and it's said to be haunted by a policeman who goes by the name of Thomas Lamb. Thomas apparently lost his life on the bridge during a routine patrol in the early hours of December 23, 1841. Alright, a witness recalled seeing Thomas on the bridge at around 1 a.m. as they passed by. However, PC Lamb was not seen again after that. A few days later, part of his uniform, his top hat, I mean, that's how early we're talking now, the uniform consisted of a top hat. You know, the old,
yeah,
you know, so he's a gendarme in France and that, but our boys had that as well. Rather than today's more modern helmet, it was found floating in the river in Hartford, a little more than a mile away from the bridge. The river was reportedly dredged as part of the search for the missing officer, but no signs of the body could be found. It wasn't great timing for the local police either, as the watch committee had apparently only just sacked another constable for partaking of beer and meat in the Sun public house. Alright, so obviously in them days, regulations forbade officers from entering pubs, unless they was carrying out duties. Alright, but this guy got caught. Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
This guy got caught having a pint, basically, while he's on duty. Now, some would say that's good policing, because he's getting to know the locals and all that. Well, I would say that, obviously.
So someone offered me one yesterday, and I was driving back. She went, "Do you want a drink?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, if you don't mind." She went, "She should have got me a beer." I was like, "Yeah, I really can't drink." She's only little, like, tomorrow I'm driving for a living. I can't.
People just don't get it, do they?
No.
So he was sacked for that. So basically, with this guy going missing, it left them with no police in the town at all.
Brilliant.
You know, there's actually accounts in this time period of officers being dismissed, right, because they're married into a family of bad character.
Awesome.
You know, that's how seriously they took policing in the day. Hell.
Well, imagine that now.
Well, I'm not saying don't take it so serious now, but I think the respect's gone, hasn't it, for the police, and they need to get that back by
massively.
Yeah, by sorting people out, clip around the air, and all that. So anyway, it wasn't easy for a body on the beat in hunting them back then. Obviously, 2 months later, PC Lamb's mysterious disappearance was solved when his body was discovered right under the Huntington Bridge. So a place that had been previously searched. So this is getting into the missing 411 stuff here.
Yeah.
A place that had been previously searched. It wasn't discovered. They even dredged the river and that. So he wasn't there. But anyway, a couple of months later, he reappears there. All right, they thought, this is the explanation for it. They said they thought that his heavy greatcoat that he was wearing at the time had dragged him to the bottom of the river. Yeah, it's the Great Ouse, the river is. Which...
kind of makes sense.
Them overcoats were like thick... like a Hessian type stuff, weren't they? It was real rough, and you know, I put one on, you know, when you do like role play. Anyway, so on the Cambridge Country Roll of Honour, PC Lamb is the first name listed. The roll stating it is believed that he was assaulted by several persons and thrown off the bridge into the river. An inquest held after his body was found on February 1842. So a witness reported PC Lamb standing on the bridge on the night of the disappearance, but he was seen cupping his head in his hands and staring down at the dark waters below him. An examination of the body showed no signs of violence. However, after months spent underwater in the winter, this would have been difficult to detect at the time. PC Lamb's truncheon was found still in his greatcoat pocket and is now on display at Norris Museum in St. Ives. People were conflicted as to whether PC Lamb had died by his own hands or those of the of others. He'd been due to give evidence in a case of an assault the following week, which may have given someone the motive to silence him once and for all. However, it is deemed not to be a serious enough for the suspect to commit murder. So did he take his own life? I guess is the question we're asking here. But, you know, you've got someone who saw him on the bridge cupping his hands, you know, cupping his hands, head in his hands. You would say he's
probably
looks pretty
depressed. Yeah.
It's 1 a.m. That's the last person that saw him, and that witness never saw anybody else around him. There was no marks in his body to suggest that he'd been... manhandled. I know they said that he'd been in the water a long time, but
there's no evidence of any foul play.
No. And even then, if he got in the water, someone chucked him over, unless he was unconscious, obviously, you know, why wouldn't he just take his coat off and swim or...
Well, you'd have thought so. Something maybe like he put that, rocks in his pocket or something.
But anyway, so you can imagine the ghost is seen there, basically in that position, looking at the water, looking over the water, and it's mostly seen late, really late at night. So, you know, the old weary traveller travelling past, and then they decided to see that sort of thing. But there's so many ghosts seen inside the road, it's incredible, really. All over the country, you know, when you're going through these, it's time and time again you see this ghost at the side of the road, ghost at the side of the road.
Yeah, it does seem to be quite a common place.
All right, there's a guy called Mark Egerton, I think that's how you say it, or Egerton, and he actually wrote a book about haunted Cambridgeshire. He actually did it on Huntingtonshire itself, and a couple of these stories. He actually writes a different story for that same bridge, but he calls it the Tale of a Nun's Bridge. It's the same bridge, but people see a dark shape there, and a lot of people attribute that to a nun.
Right.
All right, rather than a police officer. But again, if you know the backstory and you went past it, you probably think it was a police officer. If you don't know the backstory, you see a dark figure there. You've got to think, you know, It could look like a nun or a monk or...
Yeah, well, that seems to be the most, like we said a few episodes ago, that seems to be the most common type of apparition anyway, especially in this country, is a monk or a nun.
Well, it might be two stories that are getting mixed up, because just down the road from that bridge is Hinchinbrook House, right, which was the original name for a Benedictine nunnery nearby, and right. A nun who was said to have haunted that site after losing her life. She actually committed suicide. So, like I said before, the bridge is part of the main traffic route between Huntingdon and the A1. Okay, so there's a lot of modern traffic and a lot of increased, vehicles, the amount of traffic going over there. You know, it's turning up. So these stories are coming more thick and fast, should we say.
Yeah.
They diverted the traffic away from that bridge now, because it was made of wood and stone and all the rest of it. So the main body of traffic actually flows quite close to it, but not over it anymore. So the only people really going over now are cyclists and walking, that sort of thing. So, but you can see the bridge from the road. So it's one of them where people go past and see something there and might not necessarily know. Yeah, I mean, then look.
I'm gonna have a look out now because we drive past that every Friday.
Yeah,
yeah.
See if you can see it, like. But, okay. So the nun then. So the story behind the nun is, well, there's two different stories really about the same person, and again, the matter got mixed up with the police officer because some of the locals believe that she was drowned in that brook by her brother, who found out she was pregnant. All right, and that's why it got the name Nun's Bridge. But local historians aren't quite sure about that, although people do see some hooded figure there. But they do, the actual spot did have a reputation for being an epicenter for crashes, things like that. Lots of accidents were taking place there. This is obviously when it was used as a road. And that was all attributed to this nun. But
so there's got to be something there, whether it's that story or another. There's definitely.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the actual bridge itself, it is quite narrow. The sides of the banks there or thereabouts are steep, difficult to see around. If you was coming at any sort of speed and you approached that, you could see how a crash could happen. With or without a nun. essentially, that's what resulted in the creation of the bypass. It said that an old tramp used to live there in a tent in the woods alongside that bridge in the 1950s, and he was once asked if he'd seen the ghost, and he replied, "Indeed I have, on many occasions. She doesn't bother me, so I don't bother her." There was another terrifying experience that happened there in the 1960s, when a guy called Ray and his friend had been to a dance in Huntingdon, and they met up with two women, auxiliary Air Force members at Brampton, RAF Brampton, and the men agreed to escort the women home on their route across the bridge. So they took the women home first, after dropping the women off, they came back the same way. Ray's friend suddenly bolted up the steep slope, and Ray, bewildered by his friend's behaviour, looked across at the water and witnessed what he describes to be a cone of shining light. Ray was struck by terror and ran for it too.
Nice how his mate just ran off first and left him.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't say anything. Just bolted.
Took off, yeah. So, obviously, a cone of light. Is that a ghost? It's strange, isn't it? So it's almost like there's definitely something going on there. There's enough incidents now to say, like, if you go there, and a lot of people do, to be fair, like, if you go down there most summers, you'll see people, ghost hunting there, sort of thing. And again, a lot of people that go there, they report strange sounds, noises, movement, as well as obviously the running water, but they can hear strange things going on all the time, in the area, so who knows? All right, next one then. This is a bit strange, to be fair. It's really short, and it came from a paranormal group that investigated Newmarket Hall. And basically, they said that they saw... One of the members described it as a penguin.
A penguin?
Yeah, big penguin.
Okay.
Like a human-sized penguin. And then others thought that basically what they might have seen is a plague doctor with a beak.
Hmm.
Yeah, but this person that saw it, interestingly enough, didn't recognise it as that. So that, you know, that image wasn't in their, you know, their minds. They didn't jump necessarily straight to the plague doctor. They thought it looked more like a penguin waddling away. And it was only later on when someone showed her a picture of this plague doctor, she said, well, actually, that's probably more likely than a six-foot penguin.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, so Newmarket Hall is haunted by a plague doctor / penguin.
I want to go with penguin. Yeah. It's funnier, isn't it?
Yeah. There'd be some story behind that, though, wouldn't there, if it was a penguin? Okay, so there's a lot around Oliver Cromwell, as you can imagine. Since his death in 16... Legend. Since his death in 1658, the fate of Oliver Cromwell's dismembered head has been subject to much speculation. After his body was ordered to be dug up by King Charles II, Cromwell's grisly features stared at passers-by from Westminster Hall in London. Put it on a stick, didn't they?
Yes.
A big pole, whatever it is.
It went missing as well.
Mm. The head eventually disappeared into private hands before finally being laid to rest at Sydney Sussex College in 1960. Mm-hmm. It is rumoured that Cromwell's body, less the head, can be seen floating through the college buildings. So there you go. So if you're around that way, you might see the headless body. And obviously there's only one person that's ever lost his head in history, so it must be Oliver Cromwell.
Well, there's been loads. Was that sarcastic?
Yeah, that was sarcastic, yeah. Like when there's those things, isn't there? Like,
he was buried, though, at Cambridge College, so that's why.
And they still don't know why they think it's him, yeah.
They still don't know where he was buried, either. The person who took the head back and buried the head, they never told anyone where they buried it. So it's just...
who sort of collects that as a...
What?
Souvenir.
What, his head?
Yeah.
I actually did an entire episode on Oliver Cromwell's decapitated head.
Someone similar where the body went missing. Like, they put the body on display for people to walk past the funeral parlour. And it was laid to rest in the window, and then that body went missing.
Don't know, I've not heard that one.
Yeah, that was someone famous.
But yeah, if you want to listen to about Oliver Cromwell's head, it's to go and listen to it.
Nah. So. All right, the Moaning Man of Newmarket Road. Chilling mysteries, moans, and petrifying residents of an unknown address on Newmarket Road. One student who lived there in the house reported one particular bedroom as always being freezing cold. Another terrified resident had to rapidly move after being so disturbed by the moaning man's cries. This is a student flat. Basically, there's a row of houses on this Newmarket Road, and students live there temporarily, you know, at the colleges and that. And it's said that there's a plague pit there. If you actually look at the houses, the sort of dip in the middle.
Yeah.
And they reckon that's an old plague pit. So whether this moaning comes from that. The other thing that was said to be down there is a notorious executioner. One of the houses, I still have his name over the door.
Nice.
Because it was a serious role, wasn't it? It was almost like a respected role. I know it sounds weird.
Yeah,
but,
no, you know, it was. It was.
You know,
massive.
People looked at him like, you know, like you'd look at the local butcher or the local Do you know what I mean? The local baker or that sort of thing. He was the local execution, that's what you had. And anyway, he's, like I say, his name's over the door, and in that particular building, there's lots going on there. Screams and all the rest of it. But the students pay up front, so that they'll pay for like a term up front, out of the college, out of the wherever we give them, you know, taxpayers give them. So they'll pay for that, and then so they have to stay there. You know, but there's a lot going on in that particular area. But again, they're not sure if it's a tribute to him and what he did. I'm not sure he'd be too bothered about what he did. He was getting an honest day's pay for an honest day's money, wasn't he? So it's more likely the plague pit, in my eyes.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
All right, you're going to like this one. Gritton Grey Lady was first seen in the 19th century, but hasn't been seen since. Her apparition was said to appear on College Taylor's Knob Staircase. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Fucking childish, that. You've seen me laughing at something like that. She's rumoured to be young Miss Taylor, a student who sadly died before getting to Gritton. Starting at Gritton, even. Time will tell if she makes a startling reappearance. So that's weird, isn't it? Where you've just got one.
He was probably drunk or on drugs.
One time.
And said he saw a ghost.
Maybe.
It's more likely than it just happening just the once. Unless it happened the once and there was like a, what do they call them? When a Catholic priest comes in and throws water at it. I was going to say execution, but it's
exorcism.
Exorcism, that's the one.
And I'll end with this. This is my favourite story of Cambridge that I came across. And it's just bizarre. That's more the reason why. But it takes place at what's called the Eagle. It's a pub. And it's, some say it's like one of the, it is the oldest pub. No, that, it's the oldest pub in Cambridge type thing, but you know, some people say it is, some people say it isn't, but it, whatever way it is, it's fucking old, right?
Yeah.
So this pub, it got a famous ghost in the 1970s when the, essentially the rooms upstairs were reopened as guest rooms, alright, and that's when this, so all the ghosts might have been there from the start, you know, from a while. It was only when the 1970s, when they reopened the upstairs rooms as guest rooms, that this started to happen. All right. So one particular room, one particular window in that room remains open. And if you look at the building today, and I've seen photographs of it and that, that window, as you look at the window, it's the basically the window above the door. No, I think it's just the side of the door, but it's open. And it's the old sachet window, so it's the, you know, where the top part drops down.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not like a little tiny window that's open. It's a big old window. Anyway, the reason is people who stayed in that room felt claustrophobic, oppressed, and then a sort of oppression came over them, right, that they couldn't explain, until somebody in the 1970s did some research and found that the old Victorian paper cutting articles stated that the pub had burnt down, and sadly in that room a little boy had died. Of smoke inhalation, right? And his body had been found trying to open that window.
Ah.
Right. So obviously it's believed that the little boy who once was there, who tried to get the window open, now wants the window open. And then obviously he's in his panic and anxiety. If the window's shut, that's when he starts playing up. But the interesting part is, like, people who didn't know about the story, they'll go there, and obviously if it's cold, they'll shut the window. When they come back to the room, it's open. Even to the point where people have put nails in it to keep it shut, and then they've come back and the nails are out and the window's open. So
I've actually just found a picture of it as well. The part, I don't know if you've seen a picture of it.
I've seen a few. It's open, isn't it?
Yeah, it's open in every picture. We'll, so I might put that on the group. And
yeah, we'll do. But the reason being that it's open is because landlords that have gone in as sceptics and that, they've come out as believers. And essentially, one of the landlords that came out said that in the deeds, when he took over ownership of the pub, in the deeds, in the lease, if you like, was that window must remain open 24/7, you know, 360 days. No matter what the weather is outside, that window must stay open. And that's actually in the lease of the pub.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that.
That is bizarre.
Mm. Definitely a strange story.
So obviously there's a lot more in Cambridge, and we'll probably stick some more up
on the old Patreon. Yeah.
But did you have a story from the chase that you wanted to finish with?
Oh, I just had a question.
Question.
But, so for those of you who know the chase,
they have
is,
it in America, do they?
I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, it's a British TV show. It's a question show. And I just found every now and again they do some funny questions. So obviously they've known for doing one. So there's a German skier called Fanny Schmeller. And they ask a question, you know, what does she do for a living? And so they do some real funny questions, but they did one a few weeks ago, and it says, which of these is not a genuine type of starfish? A goosefoot starfish, a red-knobbed starfish, or a chocolate starfish?
So
and this went out on daytime
TV.
British TV.
So he had to actually say chocolate starfish.
Oh, yeah, he watched a video of it. If you watch of it, it's Bradley Walsh, his name is, but if you watch a video of him, so he can't even say it. He's literally just...
Bradley Walsh is all funny, isn't he?
Yeah, but, yeah, just some of the questions they come out with on there are fucking brilliant. So I just thought it was quite amusing that they... But the guy answered it and he said... chocolate starfish. Bradley said, what made you come to that decision? He went, well, it's the only starfish I've ever heard of. So the British TV for you.
Yeah. So there you go.
Enjoy. Yeah. So I think we mentioned it at the start, and obviously saying if you guys can share the podcast, but we've been asking recently for some reviews to come in. Mainly because it's the best way of sort of hitting up the iTunes charts is getting more reviews in. So we have had one. It is a 5-star review, which is obviously what we're aiming for here. It says, love this podcast. Yeah, I've listened to this from the start. So that's a long time. Someone listens to that.
That is a long time.
That is a long time.
Even I haven't listened from the start.
Nor have I. To be fair, you keep going, have you heard this episode? Have you heard that episode? I'm like, no. That was years ago. And it just gets better and better. Well, we know why it's getting better.
The wizard, they need to listen to that episode.
We know why it's getting better, though, don't we? Easy listening, great banter, really interesting. Let me throw in things now. They're going through all the counties in England at the moment. And it's great to hear all the different tales and hauntings, not just the ones everyone talks about. Can't wait for the next episode. Doesn't say, is it? I'm not sure if that's the name. Carnicle. Yeah. So we have had a few people say they have left us a review, but they haven't popped up yet for whatever reason.
One did this morning.
Oh, we've got another one. Love hearing your stories from Yorkshire. The lads are awesome, the stories are great, the podcast is a must. If you want funny, honest opinions and a variety of views, keep listening. And for those American listeners, all the X's at the end of that are actually kisses. So that's come from Amy, so thanks for that. I find it, Americans don't understand the X's at the end of text messages.
No.
No, they don't get it. Hmm. I remember sending one to someone from America, because it's just what we do. Do you know what I mean? You just put it at the end of a text message. You don't even think about it. And she's like, why are you putting X's at the end? I'm like, they're kisses. They're like, that's weird. Why are you putting kisses? I'm like, no, it doesn't mean anything. It's just an X. But, yeah.
Why put a cross at the end?
Yeah, why put a cross at the end? But
there's places in Afghanistan. I'll talk to Chris about this, but there's places in Afghanistan that are so remote that when they see planes, I suppose in the Amazon jungle is the same, but when they see planes going across, they don't have any other word for it than an X.
Really? Just an X.
Just caught an X. They ain't got a clue what it is.
Wow.
And then, just probably look at it for a bit and then go, what's that falling from that X?
Bang! Yeah, that's quite cool. Yeah, so I'd like to get him on a on a show like on a poppycock because he's a nutter. Yeah, he's very funny. We'll see if he's interested in going on. But yeah, so
story from the British Army.
Yeah, some British Army stories. But yeah, get on the old review system if you can. Leave us a review. I know there are other ways of leaving reviews. It's not just iTunes. So if you do get any, or you do leave us one on another app, do us a favour and just send us that review as well.
Yeah, we won't get access to that. But I would say if you're going to leave a review anywhere other than Apple, then share the show.
Yeah.
Would help us out more.
Yeah.
Obviously, review wherever you're leaving it, people obviously will see it there. But yeah, if you can share the show, that does help.
Yeah.
But that being said, shorter show, obviously, because still not 100%, but we're getting there, or I'm getting there, so...
Yeah, it's you that's ill, not me.
Yeah. So, anyway, like I say, we'll see you on the other side. Take care out there, you bastards.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.